Right, Peter. Well, welcome everyone. And the order of business, Mike?
Chair, order of business is as per the agenda, and apologies from Councillor Imrie and Councillor Milligan.
Item 3, declaration of interest can be made at the time, or now, as you wish. And now move on to the minutes of the previous meeting. These are noted then. Thank you. Which takes us on to item 5.1. This is also just for noting. Item 5.2, the Arneson Gasworks.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of the actual paper, you have the report, which was the report pub in January. And you'll recall that in January, we considered an update report on the site of the former Arneson Gasworks. This was a review which was considered back in October 2015, and the local review body was minded to grant permission, subject to the conclusion of a Section 75 agreement, to secure developer contributions. There was no progress made at that time, so we brought this update report to you in January. At the meeting in January, the local review body asked the chair to write to the applicants to express their concern that there was that delay and ask for progress. That letter was sent out, and then there was a flurry of activity where the applicants and agents tried to secure the conclusion of a legal agreement. However, what I can advise the local review body is that as part of that process, there's been some legal complications, and it's surrounding the land ownership of the site. And as a consequence of that, the council is not in a position, or I would advise the council is not in a position to issue a decision notice. And what this comes down to, just for your information, is that when an applicant submits a planning application, they have to correctly identify the land ownership of the site. Usually it's the applicant who owns it, so they declare that they own it. In cases where they don't own the land, they are legally required to notify the owners and give them 21 days notice period before submitting an application. Now, in terms of when you receive a planning application, you take it on face value. If someone says they own the land or don't own it, you take that on face value. That's what's happened in this case. However, when you get to concluding or progressing a legal agreement, of course, you get into the details of title. It becomes evident whether that original certification was correct or not. In this case, it's come to light that the actual landowners are a different company to the applicant who said they owned the site. We've now got a situation where the ownership is potentially different. So as a result, we're potentially facing a situation where all the work to date is potentially invalid. So we're not in a position to conclude that arrangement until we resolve or clarify that situation. One of the things that we need to explore is whether the land ownership companies are still owned by the same people, just under different names. So there's a bit of a legal to-ing and fro-ing at the moment, which means at the moment, I'm not in a position to suggest to you to do one thing or another, except for give us a bit of time. However, the outcome of that may be that we're effectively saying it's an invalid application and can't be concluded.
Ian first.
Thank you, Chair. This has been dragging on, as we know, for about 18 months now. And to find that at this stage we're in a position where all the work that's been done to date is worthless, I find quite shocking. I'm disappointed that yet again that this application is dragging on. This, in my opinion, is by far the worst decision that any committee, local review body or planning committee has taken with regards to a development application in Midlothian. I've made my views known about it in the past. I would like to see us conclude this the work on this application as soon as possible, and my hope is that we can have this application withdrawn, deleted, removed, so that in future we get an application comes forward that we can deal with. So I would like to request that we have some sort of time limit, as short as possible, on concluding any agreement with respect to this application.
Yeah, Chair, it may be the case that no agreement can be concluded. It may be a case that, like I say, one of the solicitors have expressed their view on the situation. It may be a case that it's simply that's it, the thing's stopped, finished. There's no conclusion to that process.
Well, I notice, Chair, that we've been given on page 17 of the agenda three options. Are these options still valid for us to consider?
Chase, if it's the case that the application proves to be invalid, which at the moment looks like the likely cause of events, then neither of the options really apply, because you can either approve it or refuse it. It simply should be invalid and basically just comes off the planning register. And it just that's where we would end up with it. So I couldn't even suggest you could refuse it instead of approve it, because that's potentially you shouldn't even be making a decision on it. I appreciate it's an unfortunate set of circumstances, but like I say, we're sort of dependent on the information from the applicants so far. But like I say, if it's proved to be what I think it is, then it's a case that it's invalid.
Just if option B, give them 3 months and by then it would be over. But if it's invalid in any case, I don't suppose that would be necessary.
Chair, I'll go along with the advice that Peter's given, but just to disagree with Councillor with Ian there, that this was one of the worst decisions this review body I would dispute that, because the site is an eyesore. It's a dump, it's a scar on Midlothian, and the quicker it's developed, the better. So for the sake of the area and the eyesore that it is, I hope we can conclude this as quick as possible and do something with that land.
Thanks, Chair. Just to come back on what Alex said then, that I think it's a very, very dangerous message we send out to potential developers, that you make your site an eyesore and we'll pass it no matter what you put forward. That is a very worrying statement to make. I want to see this concluded as soon as possible. I would like to have a report come back to us to every meeting from now on to the LRB. Obviously, it may not be ourselves on this committee then, following the elections, but I would like to see a report come back to this committee until it's concluded.
I agree with Alec. I mean, I didn't think it was the worst decision ever made either, but could I ask, I mean, if this was coming back, would it no need to come back to planning if it was a fresh application? Is that how it would come in, Peter? Because it wouldn't be a decision that had been determined again, or is that, am I misinterpreting it?
Yeah, Chairman, I mean, if it turns out that the application is actually invalid, then what I would do is just notify the members of the local review body that's invalid, it's now off the register. If in response to that they wish to reapply a brand new, fresh application, you're right, you're back into the system. Yeah.
Okay. Move on to 5.3, A Bank House at Cousland.
Sorry, Chair, I wasn't on the site visits yesterday. I only came in for this one item, so I'll be going. Right.
Thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review submitted regarding an application for a residential development at Airy Bank House, Cousland. The proposal comprises the erection of 8, 4 and 5 bedroom, 2-storey detached dwelling houses with either detached or integral garages. A planning application for the proposed development was refused on the 7th of November 2016. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. A local review body carried out the site visit yesterday, the 6th of March 2017. The review is to proceed by way of written submissions, and following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the Chair and made available on the electronic case file.
Lisa.
Thank you, Convener, and I hope you will be patient with me, because this is an issue of some importance for local residents, and I've been very open-minded in my approach to it, and I've done a lot of careful reflection on the notes in the agenda papers and some other background information which has helped me have a better understanding, and I will be interested to hear colleagues' views. So I'd be grateful if I could say my piece and perhaps reserve my final position until I've heard colleagues' views. I notice that in the report on page 26 of the agenda papers, item 4.2, there is reference to the fact that there have been no additional comments since this came to LRB. But I do notice the very significant number of representations that have been received, and the fact that of those, one of the statutory consultees was Tynewater Community Council, who I think we all know in this body and on Planning Committee to be a very energetic community council, a very motivated and diligent community council who always take an interest in matters to do with planning and their wider area, and that the community council there is comprised of representatives of the different communities throughout the Tynewater area. But it's unusual for the chairman, Henry Gibson, to come forward with such a strong view in spite of having heard comments from other interested parties. And it seems to me that we should not be light in our disregard for those comments. I think we should take very strenuous note of those comments, because they do, as a statutory consultee, they do bear significantly on what we are looking at. And I think with that in mind, could I perhaps move on to the fact that in the appellant's response to this LRB, there is a comment about it's not. Sorry, I'm on page 51 of our agenda papers, and I'm on 5.11. As such, it's not considered to be out of character with the surrounding settlement for larger houses to pre-propose for the application site, etc., etc., with it being noted that the existing property at 1 Hadfast Road represents a directly comparable example of a large house being sited at the edge of the settlement. Actually, for anyone who was on the site visit or is familiar with the village, they will know that 1 Hadfast Road is only a 1.5-storey height house, does not sit at the edge of the village in the same way, and is actually significantly smaller than anything that's on the site currently and or is being proposed here. So actually, I'm not sure I find that an acceptable position. I did go back and check 1 Hadfast Road because I thought I knew where it was, since it's an area that's within my ward. But just to be sure, I went back and checked, and definitely this is the case. So it is not reasonable to make a comparison with that. What's being proposed here, or what's being appealed, is actually of a very different calibre. I'd be grateful to colleagues if they'd also look at the reasons, the relevant planning policies that caused this to be refused. So in RP5, we see the concern for woodland trees and hedges. Sorry, that's 63 of your agenda papers, Chair. RP5, and it seeks to prevent the loss of or damage to woodland, groups of trees, individual trees and hedges that provide particular amenity, nature conservation, biodiversity, recreation, landscape, character, shelter or other importance. We also see reference in the papers that originally went to planning that refer to the potential impact of the level of construction that would be impacting on this site, which would inevitably lead to the damage and long-term loss of trees on this site. The landscape character is also referred to as RP7. in where it may adversely affect the quality of the local landscape. And in RP13, we see that species protection, well, there is thought to be a bat colony on the site, which would need to be further protected. Now, I would draw your attention that this design is very different from anything we've ever seen before in things that have been proposed for Cowsland at different times. And in the policy that refers or is referred to at the top of page 64, which is to have regard to the character of the area in terms of scale, form, design and materials. Now, when we were on the site yesterday, we were looking at the rear of two properties, which are actually very old properties and have been, from the rear, extended, one of which I think is a conservatory extension, the other is a kitchen extension. Both of these were decisions taken by the owners when they were unable to sell their properties, I understand, during the threat of open cast mining and that ongoing consideration that some colleagues around this table will have been party to the hearing that we had in the village at the time. But in all of this, what I would draw your attention to most of all is 65, page 65, at the top of which there's reference to the 2008 local plan and in which it incorporated this area known as Airy Bank into the village envelope, which previously was not the case. Now, we also heard yesterday on the site visit to the fact that there had previously been a large house on the site. Well, in fact, I have submitted some pieces of information that I'm aware of to the clerk, to this committee, and I'd be grateful. I didn't, in the interest of saving trees, I didn't print a great number, but I think that Mike's going to share sufficient with you to be able to see that this is the original. This is the original Airy Bank house that was demolished. This is courtesy of the History Society, who keep these records of such things. And as you can see, it's a very different thing from what we now know as Airy Bank House. Sorry, Bob, we need to be able to... And if you will also look at the plan, which is from a similar period, you will see the change... Sorry, this is coming around to you. You will see the changes to the tree belt that was a substantial corridor for wildlife. It sheltered the village. It provided protection of both the character of the environment and obviously a physical protection. That's been whittled down to almost nothing now. And the idea that any of these trees could potentially be lost is of deep concern to me. This is a rural setting. And yet what we're being presented with is the potential... Sorry, I think someone needs to take a phone call. thanks, Alec. Sorry, it's just I'm kind of losing myself here, Alec, so if you'll bear with me, please. Thanks. There are several issues here. The first, to my mind, is the sheer overwhelming number of properties that are being proposed for this site. And on page 65, the second paragraph, there's reference to the fact that this is a small village where the overwhelming majority of dwellings have either one story of accommodation or a second story of accommodation within the roof space. And that's true even within the more recent residential developments. And that's why the emphasis is put to the character of the site, the character of the village as a whole, and the importance of strong landscape boundaries around the village in order to protect it. It's not currently visible from outwith. If we move on to page 66 of your agenda papers, you'll see reference to the significant overdevelopment of the site that's being proposed. The fact that the landscape setting of the site and Cowsland as a whole would be impacted. The fact that the applicant has not taken into account the requirement for a 30-metre tree buffer along the boundary. The fact that this same site used to have a very, very old beech hedge surrounding it. And the owner of the site has previously, in spite of all attempts from this local authority and this planning authority, disregarded the protection of that beech hedge and felled it without regard to any of the authority that abides within this body, within the planning authority as a whole, that is, or within Midlothian Council. So that gives me deep concern about what would happen to these trees going forward. That might sound trivial, but do we really need such housing? That's what a lot of the objectors have referred to in their very articulate objections. And that the fact that the planning officer said at the time, the applicant has failed to demonstrate that the proposal will not have an unacceptable impact on the character and the appearance of the area. Now, I'll take you back to my earlier comments where the chairman of the Tynewater Community Council, who is not always moved to make such comments, did in his comments as a statutory consultee make reference to these issues and the others that go forward and the lack of root protection areas putting trees at additional risk. This is something we should take very seriously. We're seeing so much of this issue pertaining to the whole of Midlothian as a planning authority area. I am not at all against development in the countryside, quite the opposite. I'm actually quite in favour of development in the countryside where it's appropriate and where it's useful and where it will serve a community to which it is already associated or adjacent, and in this case, actually claiming to be part of. And with that in mind, I'd also point you towards page 67 of your agenda papers, where this application, or rather this appeal, does not just fly in the face of a number of our own policies, but it flies in the face, or rather does not accord with, the Scottish Government's own policy, which is a document on designing streets, where there's a clear conflict of what this could look like. There has been reference in the reports and information passed to us from the planning officer to the fact that this previously was an area considered for a number of different applications, of which most were successful. However, this one is not the case because, in fact, the previous concerns of the applicant to put four houses on this site, which were minded at the time to be thought to be successful, if they had followed through, that application was withdrawn. And now we find ourselves with a whole separate little enclave of four- and five-bedroomed houses, a complete conflict with and in complete disregard for the local environment, which is Cowsland Village, a very thriving, harmonious community where more recent developments of the kind that is quite close, which is Beechgrove, that's a small development in its own right of small one and one-and-a-half-storey houses that have served to amplify the housing resource for Cowsland, which was much needed, but the demand for housing accommodation generally, specifically for Cowsland as a community and generally in the area, has been for much smaller family, much more affordable units, and these are clearly not in that category. So, Chair, if you would bear with me, I'd be very interested to hear what it is that colleagues have to say, and I am open to hearing those comments, but that's what I'd like colleagues to hear clearly from myself. Thank you.
Lisa, anyone else want to make any comments? Peter?
Yeah. I give a great deal of value to the opinions of the Community Council. And after all, the chairman of that community council is an architect himself. And if he has strong objections, that weighs, in my mind, significantly. In the paper, officials suggested that they were minded to allow four houses on page 66. you were previously minded to support a scheme with four large houses on the application side, but this proposal was never approved. Where did we leave that, and is it possible to review that or bring that back to life?
That original application for four dwellings was withdrawn by the applicant, but they could resubmit an amended application for four dwellings or another proposal. That is an option for the applicants.
And what would be the view of the community council under those circumstances?
Well, Chair, like any amended scheme or revised proposal, it would have to be subject to an assessment and consultation. So that would go out for consultation and comment. I suppose it's worth noting that some of the references in the paperwork link it back to the development plan, which references four. That's why this number four keeps coming up, because of the it's referenced in the local plan.
Anyone else want to make any comments? Alec?
I mean, I've read through the papers, but I didn't see what is the real objections for the objectors of these houses being built. Because when you look at the plan, the area is Beechwood, there's the two houses that were there that must have previously got planning permission to build the two houses, the stadium on their own, and the rest is sort of like a shrubland around about it. There's been a road there. The road was obviously put in at one time for if it was the case that the four houses would go ahead. But I for the life of me, I don't know what the objection is for the objectors.
Well, thanks. When you actually look at the plan on page 71, I mean, I don't think it really gives the actual picture when I actually visited the site yesterday. I mean, I think it's actually quite a self-contained site, and the fact that it's gated, I think would work in its favour, to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind something like that myself if I was actually in a position there. But I think the houses actually fit into the area, and it's a self-contained area. I mean, they're following, to me, the cartilage of the tree belt, which is to the north, well, facing Edinburgh anyway. And I think also that in terms of the size of the houses, the two houses that are there, especially the one with the balcony, and I'm no architectural expert, so, you know, but I just think in terms of visual impact, if you put smaller houses around that area, I think they'd look ridiculous. I think they'd need to be of a substantial size to actually be compatible with the house that's already there. If you built something smaller, I just think, honestly, I really think it would just look absolutely ridiculous. And I think the eight houses, it's a decent development, and I would assume that in terms of the applicant, that the viability of the site would probably be dependent on the eight houses being built, I would have thought. And in terms of the market for selling them, people don't build houses unless they know they can actually get them away. They're not in the business of doing that, so there would be a market for selling them. I mean, up in Penicuity where I live, I mean, the number of people that are applying for extensions for three-bedroom houses to make them fours and fives, because there's hardly any properties that size in the area, is huge, because they want a bigger house, and they don't want to move from the area. And I would have thought this would have been a development that would certainly have a market. So I don't think that's an issue. But as I say, I think the houses, actually, when you take the cartilage of the site, and I think the plan in page 71 does show it, but I think when you're actually on the site, I think it actually fits in really quite neatly. And, you know, in general terms, I mean, obviously I'll listen to the rest of the discussion. I wouldn't really have a problem with this.
Ian?
Thank you, Chair. I think it's applications like this that show the value of having site visits. When plans come to Planning Committee, often we don't have that perspective of how they fit in to the local environment. I felt that on the visit yesterday, I'm going to refer to a part of the papers that Lisa referred to, and the applicant has not taken account of the requirement for a 30-metre tree buffer along the boundary of the site where it abuts the countryside. I was conscious, obviously, we're in the middle of winter, that the trees don't have leaves on at the moment, but it was a very, very exposed site. I would have felt that for even up to 8 smaller developments taking up smaller space and with a good tree buffer around it might have been acceptable, but I tend to feel that this, in the light of the visit, this application, it's not in keeping with the village of Cowsland. I'm minded, therefore, to uphold the planners on this and to oppose the appeal. I really do feel it was too big for the location and it was too exposed from the sight lines into the fields and beyond.
Lisa?
Thank you, Convener. I have to say that I've listened carefully to colleagues, and having heard Adam's comments about people in Pennycook seeking extensions and larger houses, I'm more than sympathetic to that thought, because clearly there are lots of people who do need larger houses. But we aren't talking about an urban environment. This is a rural environment, one of the many rural environments that actually characterise our county, along with the more urban settlements like Pennycook. We are a mixed character of a county, and I think all of those who live here value that enormously and want to support its expansion without destroying its character. Part of my concern about this appeal isn't just the number of houses. A lot of it's about their size, it's their scale, and most of all their style. They would be hugely appropriate in Pennycook, in almost any environment that was urban, but this is not an urban environment. A gated community in a rural village, one that has thrived, that has been so mutually supportive that I think I'm right in saying the majority of the residents there are not originally from Cowsland itself. They've come because they've celebrated the environment in which they find themselves. They are mutually supportive. They have a thriving village community which affords them a village hall with all kinds of activities, from childminding groups through to fundraising bun fights, in inverted commas, that enable them to fund the running of this. It's an inclusive community that cares for its older and younger and more vulnerable citizens, as well as its run-of-the-mill residents. Many of them have come from different parts of Mid Lothian and beyond. So this isn't a xenophobic village, but what it is clear in a very unified way is that they really, really don't want this development. And that in itself, I appreciate, is not really a good planning reason to reject this appeal. But I think I don't need to articulate the reasons I've already given for my concerns about this. I think the case notes here from the original case officer quite explicitly articulate the reasons why this is of concern and is contrary to a number of policies. I hope I've clearly identified one element, which I mentioned earlier on page 51, where there is the appellant refers to One Hadfast Road as being a justification for it. That's not the case, and if anyone doubts it, we should go back to a site visit and have another look at One Hadfast Road. But I assure you, I have looked, I've taken photographs, which I'm happy to share if anyone would like to see them. It is not a two-storey dwelling. It is not a large dwelling. There is nothing in the village whatsoever at this time that would properly suggest that this subject of appeal is comparable with anything that exists in the village. So to grant this appeal would be to radically change the character and appearance of this village, in direct conflict with our policies of community engagement, in direct conflict with Scottish Government street design, and in direct conflict with so many of our own policies. It would beg a belief and make ridiculous this body if we pass this appeal, and it would set a tremendous precedent for so many of our rural villages. I think the communities across Mid Lothian would be up in arms. I think Adam's quite right. This would be fine in an urban environment. Many urban residents would welcome this. But this rural community and many rural communities, for the reasons our planning officers rejected it in the first place, do not want this. I think those of us who have concern for the protection as well as the expansion of our Midlothian should join me in saying, not in this case, I move that we uphold the planning officer's recommendations and decision for all the reasons they've set out in the papers and refuse the appeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We've heard a lot of eloquent speeches about this. I just confine myself to seconding Lisa's rejection of the appeal.
Well, how do I say? So we have Lisa and Bob upholding the planners and Adam, I think, and Alec against them. Yeah, is that about the size of it?
I'd move that we agree the houses to be built. And I didn't say it was only acceptable in an urban environment. It says there's a demand for the houses, so it wouldn't matter where they were built. There is a demand for that size of house.
I've not yet heard a planning issue for refusing this application. And that's the grounds. So if it goes to appeal, then it's been refused. Not on a planning issue, but I don't know why it's been refused, because I've never heard a planning issue yet. I'll second Adam that it should be granted.
Yeah, if those houses are being built, then I feel we ought to put a condition in that the owner of the land makes significant contribution to the improvement of the village hall in Cowsland, because he will manage to sell each plot for around about £200,000, and that will be a very significant sum of money, and then to make a contribution so that the village hall in Cowsland could be really significantly improved is something that I would make a condition to add to Adam and Alex.
Well, could we just deal with the two? Have to leave that aside just now, Peter. Whether we're going to get that allowed to be built or not, Adam.
Well, I'd be quite happy with that if that was actually as a condition. But could I ask Peter? Planning officer, could we actually do that? Make that a condition?
Chair, I think there's a two-step process here. The first is you make a judgment about whether you're minded to support the scheme or not support the scheme. If the decision of the local review body is to support it, then you can have a conversation about the conditions and developer contributions. So you could ask for developer contributions towards education and towards community facilities, i.e. the village hall. So that is possible if the review body are minded to support the proposal.
So we'll have a vote first on whether we support the planners or we don't. So taking Lisa's first, if whoever supports Lisa, put your hand up.
Three, Chair.
Against? Right, I'll use my casting vote to support Lisa.
Just for clarity, that's to dismiss the review and effectively refuse planning permission.
Item 5.4. Chair,
the next report relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the erection of a nursery building and formation of car park at land at Harden Greenhouse, Dalhousie Road, Dalkeith. The proposal comprises the erection of a two-storey detached building to the rear of the existing listed building. The proposed building is 16.9 metres wide, 12.4 metres deep, and up to 8.8 metres high. The building form comprises three blocks, each with a pitched roof, creating a principal elevation with three gable ends. The southwest elevation is predominantly glazed. The remaining elevations are primarily solid timber. An additional three car parking spaces will also be formed to the rear, and the existing oil tank will be removed. The garage building that you saw on the site will be demolished and possibly relocated at a later date. A planning application for the proposed development was refused on the 10th of January 2017. A copy of the decision notice, the officer's report and today's the applicant's review statement is in today's papers. The local review body carried out its site visit yesterday, as you're aware, and it's to proceed by way of written submissions.
Does anyone want to make a comment about yesterday's visit? Lisa?
Thanks, Convener. Chair, I am a very, very big fan of nursery provision because the Scottish Government say we as councillors have to be. I'm a big fan of that regardless. And I'm very conscious of the fact that we need more accommodation for nursery provision. And so I was very interested to see this on site yesterday, particularly as it's very difficult to see some of the wonderful facilities on offer there from the road. I think we're all, those of us that were on the site visit, were very impressed with the treehouse and all the other facilities that the children enjoy there. It was quite inspiring. What was less inspiring was the amount of space there was at the back of the house, even for if that garage, as is proposed by the applicant, if the garage is removed, and it's a large garage, but the scale of this particular plan in relation to the house dwarfs the original house, and in a site that isn't big enough to accommodate it and leave any land left over that isn't occupied by the treehouse and the other nice places to roam around. And I'm a little concerned. If they had more land, if this was a less urban design, and I'm sorry, I sound like I'm on my rural hobby horse, don't I? But this is a farmhouse, and it does sit around with undeveloped agricultural land around it. And so to look at this very lovely design, but a lovely design for an urban environment, not a lovely design for a very small site cramped up against a listed building. And if you look at the illustration, the indicative illustration on page 94 of the papers, you'll see what an aspirational illustration this is, because certainly from my understanding of the information we were given on site yesterday, is that there's no way that there can be all this lovely landscape to the front, of this proposed extension when this lovely glazed elevation and all the land that sits in front of it, there isn't any. There's a big fence and a neighbouring property. So I'm not quite sure how that works. But if this is indicative of height values, we can see how this illustration dwarfs the original building. And while I am disappointed to say so, I'm bitterly disappointed that this proposed design, to quote the agenda papers, page 93, the DPP report claims the proposed design is compromised by its close proximity to the existing building and woodland. I agree. And the assertive contrast, well, actually, it says elsewhere in our agenda papers, it's not an assertive contrast because actually, an assertive contrast, the applicant has sent us a rather different appearance of an assertive contrast, and this certainly isn't one. It's an urban proposal in the farmyard of a farmhouse. It doesn't make sense to me, and yet I wish it did, because I would love to see in the very near future more nursery provision in the area. There is a lot to be said for any development of this site that would give this nursery greater accommodation. But where we see the proposed building is 8.8 metres tall to the ridge, I have concerns. And it really just doesn't seem to me appropriate, and I really do wish that there had been a different design in front of us. I'm not at all opposed to the development of the area. I'm not at all opposed to an extension to a thriving nursery. But I'm not convinced that waiting lists should cause us, as an appeal body, to cast aside concerns for our environment, for which the officers spent a great deal of time and effort training us. We should be mindful of the environment. It's what the public expect of us. And I don't think that this design is mindful of the environment. Indeed, policy RP24, listed building, states that development will not be permitted where it would adversely affect the character or appearance of a listed building or its setting. We saw lots of lovely things going on the grounds of this listed building, the treehouse being just one of them. This does not enhance that in any way, quite the opposite. I believe it adversely affects that setting, and I support the officers in their view that it's neither a deferential contrast nor an assertive contrast, and the proximity of the listed building creates a poor setting for the new building, thereby significantly diminishing its character. And in my opinion, this assertive contrast cannot be said to be the case here. I would think that it is seriously my concern that on page 102, the second paragraph, where the planning officers direct us to a discussion that was had with between the case officer and the applicant's agent, where the agent indicated that her preferred option was to continue with the current application in spite of the fact that it was possible that an amended design in an alternative location could be acceptable. And for that reason, I move to reject the appeal with a very, very disappointed face on.
Thank you, Chair. We're very much in the realm of our subjective feelings on this building. I take a contrary view. The wooden design does fit in, and I was looking at the plans from the pages on the agenda from 100, and I've got it on the iPad, 109 on up to page 113, where it shows it's in how it'd be visible from the road. I don't think it does detract, but of course it is a very subjective thing. We all know that we need the nursery provision, but that's not the reason. I'm mindful to support the appeal.
Well, I found just quite an eye-opener. First of all, as I read through the papers, all the children at the nursery, and they were tiny. I've never come across such small children. They were from, I inquired, they were from 7 months to 3 years, and they spent almost all their time outside. And I felt that this whole design, which is very much a woodland design, would fit in tremendously well. And if you look at the back of the house, it's as ugly as possible. The front is a beautiful house, but at the back, it really is a bit of a hodgepodge. And I feel that this really imaginative design really adds to the whole situation, and I would very strongly wish to support it.
Thank you, Chair. Once again, I think the site visit was very instructive. Also, the image that we were given on page 94 of the papers, it's quite difficult to visualise exactly what it would look like, and obviously the architects will make it look as good as possible. I tend to disagree with what Lisa was saying that about the rural environment. You know, we're talking about right next to a railway station on the Porter's Line. This is going to get pretty well built up, this area, over the next few years. So, you know, that's put me in a different mind towards how I would treat this if it were really in the heart of the countryside. The decision really comes down, as Bob said, to subjectivity over how you feel it would look. I would have felt a lot more concerned if they tried to keep in character with the existing building. You know, we were on a site visit last year where they tried to make an extension to an old stone building look the same, and you cannot do it. You cannot make the brickwork look exactly the same, and it can sometimes make it look garish. On the other hand, if you do have a contrasting styles, modern against beside old, where it's very good quality. And an example I mentioned yesterday is Dalkeith Country Park, the restoration yard, where I think they've done a really good job blending the old and the new, and it looks very professional, and it actually looks very easy on the eye. And I feel that looking at the pictures here, that's the way this will look. I'm hopeful I'm not wrong, but if the architect's pictures, designs are right, I think it will blend in quite well. And I'm therefore minded in this instance to support the appeal.
Chair, I support the appeal.
Chair, I would support the appeal as well. And I think Councillor Baxter just actually used every argument opposite for what he used for the previous application, but that's for him to do. The previous one was actually attached to a village. This is actually nowhere near anywhere. It is actually in the countryside. But I would just think, if I was a youngster, which was a long time ago, and I was going to a nursery and I was going to this building, I'd be chuffed to bits. I think it looks really good. The only places that can actually see it are the existing nursery in the treehouse, and it's going to be youngsters for the nurses that are in the treehouse, so I wouldn't have a problem with it at all.
Thanks, Convener. As a woman on the committee, you would expect me to want to have the last word, wouldn't you? And it's just really to defend my reputation that I'm not at all opposed to very modern alongside and juxtaposed to an old building, quite the opposite. I think pastiche often looks really dreadful, and I agree with Ian on that view. And if I gave the impression that I was concerned for its rural environment, perhaps I misspoke. What I meant was in the context of a rural style of listed building, where I would have hoped for something that was modern but more sympathetic to. But clearly I am outnumbered. But thank you very much for listening to me. That was in defence of my position on these matters. Thank you.
Chair, just based on the direction of travel there to uphold the review, there are, without prejudice, conditions, three conditions referenced in the paperwork on page 82 and 83. Is it page 82 and 83? It's in relation to the protection of trees and in terms of the standard condition about materials. So just ask whether the local review body is happy for those conditions to be included in the decision.
We are not going to protect the Leylandi.
No. No, it was just other trees beyond that. We just want to make...
Yeah. No, I just agree with Peter. The Leylandi should go.
And I actually agree with that as well. I cannot stand Leylandi.
Sorry, Chair.
Can we make that a condition? That they chop the Leylandi down?
Peter, can I ask, at the bottom, I'm a little bit facetious here, but at the bottom of page 82, number 2, the developer shall not begin until temporary protective fencing is erected, the retained right. The fencing shall be positioned in circumference to the trunk at a distance from it, which correlates to the tree canopy, unless otherwise. Can you tell me what that means, please? Because I'm...
Yeah, I suppose effectively most trees, the actual root ball under the ground is roughly the same size as the tree above ground, so you're looking to protect that roots from compression. And so it's just, if you just protect the trunk, you could still damage the trees and the roots. So. Thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the erection of a porch at 1D Dalhousie Avenue, Bonnyrigg. The proposed porch measures 2.4 metres wide by 3 metres deep. A planning application for the proposed development was refused on the 6th of January 2017. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report are contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. As previously, the local review body carried out a site visit yesterday, and the review is to be determined by way of written submissions. And following decision, a decision notice will be issued and made available in electronic case file.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, with regards to the porch extension to the south, if you notice in the diagrams, the 1D along that street, it's a street I'm very familiar with in my ward, quite close to me. There are many different styles of housing along this street, so any change from that I don't think would be important. 1D has had an extension already, and it's slightly wider, and so I think it can accommodate that porch, albeit it is big, and it does include a toilet and as well in the wash hand basin or something. I would have no objections to it, and I think we should allow this appeal.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I tend to agree. I think if we'd looked at this without the original extension in place, it might have looked a bit large. But in the context of the already previously extended building, I don't think it looked too out of character. I think it seemed an odd one for us to go and look at yesterday because, you know, after when you look at the other items on the agenda, this seems a small fry. But I don't really have any objection to it going ahead.
No, I've already spoken now. Sorry.
Thank you very much, Chair. Not wishing to shock colleagues, but I actually agree. When I saw it on the agenda papers, I thought how very odd. And even when I was on the site visit, I had some concerns. But having reflected on it overnight and reviewed the papers again in the light of the site visit, it doesn't seem like a bad idea at all. And I agree with Ian's comments about in the light of it having already been extended, it wasn't so disproportionate. They'll end up with a very tiny front garden, but they don't seem to be bothered about that. And there's a lot of merit to be saying have a shower and a loo in your porch. Why not? Great boot room. I'm actually minded to support my colleagues in their view that we should allow the appeal.
There's a bonus that looked like a couple of Leylandi might come down as
Hi, thanks. I'm not going to bother with this one way or another, but I have to say this is the most incongruous site visit we had yesterday, the ones that we've seen. This is the worst one in terms of the cartilage, or the cartilage, the word I used earlier. But the frontage of the buildings that are there, the existing houses, this is the most odd one ever that we actually seen yesterday. There's no windows in it, and that's obviously because there's a shower and a washing basin, I understand that. But I think this is the worst one out of what we've seen yesterday, although it's the smallest one. And obviously, I'm not going to argue against it because I do tend to actually support developments. But I just think this is awesome what we've seen yesterday, and I can't believe you could have double standards and change your minds every time it suits you.
Point of order, convener. Not acceptable. We are supposed to hear all cases on their individual merit, and I object to the comments just made.
I actually thought it's going to look like a carbuncle on this house. It's totally out of contents, and all the other houses don't have anything like it. And I really can't believe that there was such a support, because it looked to me as if it was completely wrong. But maybe I'm just old-fashioned, and I don't think I couldn't possibly support it.
Thank you very much. Lisa, you're okay with it. So are you, Bob, and so are you, Ian. Peter, I haven't heard from you, Alec.
It's out of place with Hale Street. I'm like the other ones. I can't understand.
Make it official. And those who support the planners first, that's to refuse it. And those against.
Chair, this report relates to a review submitted regarding an application in principle for the erection of a dwelling house on Lyon, south-west of Wellington School, Pennycook. A plan and application for the proposed development was refused on the 21st of November 2016. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. The local review body carried out its site visit yesterday, the 6th of March 2017, and the review is to proceed by way of written submissions. Following a decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the chair and made available on the case file.
You'll remember yesterday there was it was across a piece of marshy ground onto a hill with no way of getting there. I couldn't see a road anywhere, so I'm not sure what to say about this. Go ahead.
I am actually a great fan of having more houses in the countryside. It wasn't very clear what they wanted to do, but I'm very much supportive of seeing more houses in the countryside, so I would like to support this.
I would just like to uphold our policies of not granting houses in the countryside unless it supports a rural occupation, and therefore I'd be minded to reject the appeal.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'll second Bob's position there. Partly because of the reason he gave, that it's not for an activity in the countryside, but also the outlook. It was very exposed. You can see it from quite a distance. It was on the sort of brow of a wee hill with not that much in the way of visual shielding. So, I'll second Bob's position.
And I actually agree with both of the last two speakers. Quite simply because it's partly because of its exposed position, but also partly because I saw nothing other than a speculative housing bid. And like Councillor De Venk, I'm not at all against development in the countryside, where it has some relationship and isn't just a dormitory, nice location for somewhat commuter. Otherwise, we expose our countryside to great risk, and agricultural dwellers, workers really struggle then for accommodation if we have just this. If there was some evidence to support the idea this was going to be supported for the purposes of enabling or facilitating some agricultural or rural use, I wouldn't have a problem, even in spite of its exposed position. But the combination of the two, I agree with both of the last two speakers.
Ask a question first, please. Page 143, second paragraph from the top, states that the application form states that the house would provide a home for a family who have moved into the area for work. Whether it's a furtherance of a countryside business or activity, do we know? Well, I take it we don't know what they would actually be moving in for.
No, it's one of the issues, Chair, was there was no justification submitted to demonstrate a rural need for the dwelling. Yeah.
So we support the planners then, yeah? Okay. Right, those who are supporting the planners? And those it goes again? Votes against? I said that in the 5 years I've been chairing this, I have never had to use my casting vote. And this is, no, I know it's not. I use the word casting. Yeah. I just think it's a rotten place to put a house. I really do. So I support the planners.
Chair, I think this is our last LRB, is it not? And can I just say thank you, Chair, for all the support, and a special thanks to the clerk and to Peter. Mike and Peter, thank you for all your support and guidance throughout the past 5 years. It's been great doing business with you.
It's the one aspect I'm going to miss, my mystery tours of Midlothian every 6 Monday.